How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff, and welcome to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Stay tuned. What's up, guys? Not sure if you noticed, but that was the first time we've ever done the intro with just me. There was no Alyssa popping in and saying it's Alyssa. And that's because Alyssa is actually not feeling that good today. But instead of skipping this week, I still thought I would hop on and chat with you guys. It's actually Kinsley's birthday today, so I'm not really working or anything, but it's nap time. So everyone's asleep and thought I'd get a couple things done. We actually went to our friend's trampoline warehouse. I don't know if you guys have those places where you live, but it's like the sweetest thing ever. They're warehouses where you literally can just jump on trampolines indoor into like foam pits and dodgeball and on a basketball hoop. It's incredible. So if you ever come to Maui, Ultimate Air, it's the best. Kinsley had the best time. But shout out to those birthday requests from your daughter that you actually like just as much. You know what I'm saying? Any parents out there? I wanted to do a quick special episode. It won't be as long as usual, but I wanted to do a special I want to chat about my next book. You guys won't be reading it till next October, so October 2019, but the publishing industry is a little slower than usual. And so, it takes time to really write a book and work on it and edit it and market it and all that stuff. So I'm actually in this phase of writing it, picking the idea and then writing it this summer, which is kind of the schedule I've been stuck to with all the previous books. Kind of write it in the summer before the book comes out almost a year entirely. But I need you guys' help. We're actually going back and forth between three different kind of angles, if you want to call it. Because as you'll probably hear, I'm going to read like three summaries for you. And I would love if you guys can tweet me or email me and just let me know your guys' thoughts. And I'll even talk about them and expand on them a little. But as you'll kind of maybe pick up on, they're similar and there's going to be similar overlap. And because the heart of the book, I think, is going to be the same. And that's calling us back to a deeper sense of rhythm and cadence and landmarks in our lives and actually concentrating on who we're becoming and not what we're doing and saying no to this idol of hustle and all these different things. And essentially, I just think there's a lot of things we're losing in our Western culture that are actually really, really pivotal to the human experience. We're losing how to be silent. We're losing how to have solitude. We're losing how to be obscure. We're losing, vulnerability and table, which I talked about, and it's not what you think. So I won't do that on this one, but, we're losing rhythms, etc. So, the heart of the book is that, but here's a couple different angles. And so I'll just read them to you guys and pop in with some annotations. So the first one is, called Taming the Tyrant, subtitle, How Our Phones Are Killing Us and What We Can Do About It. And I actually really like that kind of idea or title, but it's a little narrow in the sense of technology. So this one's the least broad, but here's the description on this one. Love to hear your guys' thoughts. Technology is a gift that serves to further our culture, our relationships, and our quality of life, but unchecked, they become a tyrant. And tyrants demand our allegiance, our time, and our obedience. And even more so, they work behind the curtain to take away and conspire against our freedom. Over the past decade, with the introduction of the smartphone and social media, we have slowly given up control of our lives and created a tyrant in our pocket. One by one, we have begun to lose many things that are essential to our human experience, like empathy, solitude, margin, obscurity, community, and true vulnerability. During the time of Jesus, it was clear he had much to say against the reign of Caesar, particularly the Empire of Rome's pattern of control through dominance, fear, and violence, similar to a tyrant. Might technology be a close parallel today? The scriptures warn us that whatever we worship or give our time to, we actually become like. We are images being formed into something. And if we continue down this road with technology, we might just become tiny objects ourselves, losing our humanness in the process. This book's goal is twofold. First, to dive deep into the why of technological addiction and our search for deep meaning and connectedness. And second, to offer practical tools and systems to put technology in its proper place where it's a blessing and not a curse. Yeah, I would love to hear you guys' thoughts on that one. I'm excited to write that one, but I do think as you heal the next ones, I actually am more excited for the next two. But that one's gotten some cool feedback so far, and I think that one's a huge need. The question is, it's kind of like vegetables. Do people, people might need vegetables, but does that mean they're going to actually eat them or read them? But that one's big in our lives. I know mine and Alyssa, you know, we've made some hard, I don't know many other 28-year-olds, and not bragging, I'm just saying, like, I don't know many other 28-year-olds who, and Alyssa being 30, who have set such hard boundaries with technology. We're very rigid with our technological Sabbath, with our rules in the morning and the nighttime, and no phone in the bedroom, and certain rules of, you know, once per day, once per week, and then 1 week per year of kind of like disconnecting. You know, we don't have cable. We have a TV, but maybe watch Netflix a couple times a month. So yeah, we actually, you know, I put my phone on Do Not Disturb eternally. And that's just so that no one can actually ever ping me. I can never have my phone buzz me to tell me I need to do something. I only go to it when I need to. And those are all very calculated behaviors and small things, because I've read too much on social media companies and technology companies and how we really are. It really is changing us, because it's such a drastic hockey stick, exponential curve going up in regards to behavior change. So yeah, would love your thoughts on that one. The second one is Killing Chaos. Subtitle, finding depth and meaning instead of feeling overworked, overspent, and overconnected. Description says, the secularization of society, as well as the 24/7 nature of our world, has left us completely untethered to any anchoring points in our days, weeks, and years. We no longer live in rhythm with God, our neighbors, or the earth itself, and we push the boundaries and limit our bodies and our relationships and our jobs and our emotions. We try to squeeze out more for less, and in turn create chaos in every area of our lives. Yet it's clear from the very first page of scripture that our garden mandate was to rule and reign over the various domains God created, to take raw materials of our lives and make something beautiful and useful to God and neighbor. The antithesis to God and his created order is chaos, or decreation, to undo goodness and blessing. In the West, personal freedom and the pursuit of it is king of all. And so we're on a path of chaos, not realizing it, spiraling farther away from the echo of the garden in pursuit of this personal freedom. We want to be unhindered and unbothered and never told what to do, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. With that, though, we have lost the things that give our lives depth and meaning, order and richness. Things like silence, obscurity, vulnerability have become curses instead of blessings. We live without cycle or cadence or connection. Yet what if the concept of rhythms is actually the thing we are looking for most? What if the desire to belong to something greater, to feel secure and less anxious, is found in the pursuits of mundane yet profound moments, ones that we come back to again and again? What if there is a force or a music that the universe is playing and it's inviting us into its beautiful melody? What would happen if we said yes to the dance? Because the interesting thing is, no matter how autonomous we might think we are, we don't get to set the music of the cosmos. It's playing its tune, and the question is, are we going to dance to it or rebel against it? Because one leads to life, one leads to death. Wow, just reading that out loud, that's even a little more sharper than I remember writing. I actually want to talk about that one, guys, but real quick, I want to give a shout out to this week's sponsor, and that is stamps.com. They're incredible, you guys. I know these days you can practically get everything on demand. I mean, even like our podcast, you probably listened whenever you want and whenever it's convenient for you. And what I love about stamps is they are basically asking the question of, why are you still taking trips to the post office to mail letters and packages when you can get postage on demand? And I've actually used stamps.com for the last 5 years as a small business to ship books and posters, and it's the best. And with stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk 24/7 when it's convenient for you. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, using your own computer and printer. And then the mail carrier comes and picks it up. You just click print mail and it's done. And like I said, I absolutely love it. As a small business owner, I use it myself. I think for the last 5 years, if you've ever gotten a book from me or a poster from me — I don't do posters anymore, but shout out if you were an OG and had some of our posters — it was sent through stamps.com, and it's an incredible, incredible resource, super easy and seamless, and has honestly probably saved me hundreds of hours at this point of my life over the last couple of years. So we want to hook you guys up right now. Use the code LASTS, LASTS, for this special offer. Now, what the special offer is you get $55 of free postage, you get a digital scale for free, and you get a 4-week trial. So, I mean, that's an insane offer, in my opinion. That's actually how I close to what I signed up with 5 years ago. So go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Now click on the radio microphone symbol at the top of the homepage and type in the code LASTS, LASTS. And that's stamps.com. Enter LASTS. All right, guys. Hey, so let's get back to this number two, second, Killing Chaos. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this one. This one I'm really excited about. Again, the book's the same. You guys probably hear the same patterns or what I want to write about. But the question is, what's like the, what's the thread? What am I going to kind of use as the language and the front door to the house that you walk in through? And for me, I think chaos is a huge one as well that I see coming across people is they just, they're not really setting the tone for their life. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, they get to these brick walls and they get tired and they get burnt out and then they kind of pull their head out of the sand and realize, oh, I wasn't setting the tone for my life. So all these other outside pressures, all these external things, all these other things I thought I had to do or that culture told me to do or that culture valued. So I just submitted to, and this is Christians and non-Christians alike, by the way, which is really interesting to me. That Christians need rhythms and cadences and spiritual disciplines and need to be called back to these things just as much as non-Christians. And I know for me, this was something that resonated with me and Alyssa's, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when we started becoming very, when these things started becoming really important to us, chaos was this word I came back to as we wanted to find order out of chaos. Now, I don't mean order in the sense of like line up your shoes and have your toothbrush. No, no, no. I mean order in the biblical broader sense of God created order and blessing. All that means in the big broad sense, because the nitty gritty order of what I just said of like having, you know, your toothbrush in line and your shoes in order, that's more like a personality thing. But the big broad definition of order is a human thing, meaning every human is making order, making beauty, making blessing. And all that means is you're putting things to right. You're putting things in their proper place. They feel like they've kind of stepped into this cadence and it's just this rhythm that feels right. That's order. So many of us, we don't have that though. And so I like the idea of killing chaos and using that kind of thing too. But yeah, let's get to the third one. I think the two and the, you'll hear this while I read this, but I think 2 and 3, my heart's leaning towards a combination of 2 and 3. But yeah, don't want to put the cart before the horse. Let's read it. And then you guys can tell me what you think. So the book description number 3 is titled called The Resistance, subtitle Going Against a Culture That Overworks and Never Unplugs. And another subtitle I actually had for there, I think was Stop Trying to Hustle and Start Becoming Human. Now the description is, what's usually one of the first questions someone asks you when you meet them? So what do you do? We are a culture obsessed with work, obsessed with identity, wrapped around achievement and ambition, and obsessed with the hustle. Do more, accomplish more, give more time to your hopes and dreams. But what if in pursuit of what we are doing, we are actually missing who we are becoming? And what if who we are becoming is what truly matters in life? The scriptures are focused on becomingness. They don't seem to care much about frantic activity or accomplishment or concentrating on who we are, but concentrating on who we are becoming and anchoring ourselves in our bodies and in our lives and in our disciplines is actually about as countercultural as we can get today. Being a Jesus person, a resurrected person, a scripture person in the West in the 21st century, it means to resist, to look different, to become more like Jesus and to join the revolution of becomingness, not activity. In our culture of connectivity and through our worship of achievement, we run the risk of losing our souls while gaining a bunch of noise. And in the process, we become more anxious, tired, hurt, depressed, and frantic than ever before. And the antidote isn't to do more, but to find landmarks and anchors in our day and weeks and years that give our lives more richness and depth and meaning. And what if the things we are typically scared of, silence, obscurity, solitude, and vulnerability, are actually the things that can give us the meaning we are truly looking for? Now, guys, I even just reading that one, it's funny, you know, you write these, but then when you read them out loud, this is the first time I've read them out loud, they have a little different tone to them. One thing I want to say with this one, too, is I saw some feedback when I was putting this out earlier of, I don't mean with this one of like a book on like your identity in Christ. We've talked about that. I've written about that. I mean, becomingness is different. What I mean by that is becomingness is like more of a spiritual formation, meaning like God is actually forming you into the image of his son. But so many times we don't realize we're being formed into another image because whatever you give your attention to, your energy to, and whatever you worship, that's ultimately what you become formed into. And so to be formed into the image of Jesus is you have to resist other images. And so this book or this angle is kind of talking about the resistance, like the revolution, joining this idea of like resisting the images or the high level idols that are really popular today, which I think like, you know, the hustle is one hustle, you know, build another business, do another thing, just, you know, go after it, you know, and like make a name for yourself. When I don't know, I don't see that in Jesus. And so to resist in that regard or to resist noise or to resist, you know, being mean to someone else online and embracing empathy and to resist, you know, a full schedule and embrace margin and space in your your time, or, you know, resist protection and actually embrace vulnerability, that kind of idea. So, it would kind of be talking about that. And so, yeah, I'd love to hear what you guys' thoughts are. These are the three again, are taming the tyrant, or two is killing chaos, and three is the resistance. Now, one thing I'll say with this is these titles are more just like kind of placeholders to get the idea across. The descriptions are really what we're trying to matter here. So the titles might change. We're just saying, like, what I'm asking you guys for is the heart of what I just said on each of those. Which one do you resonate with more? Which one do you have a think is a bigger felt need? That's a question too, is what, which one do you think resonates with more people? Which one do you think is the, you know, when someone says, oh, I need that, not just, oh, that would be cool, or that'd be interesting, but which one out of those three do you feel like, oh, I need the answer to that problem? Cause that's kind of the book I want to write. I want to try to meet people's need. And so I thought just, we'd ask you guys, and I thought that would be really, really fun to do. And so, I know it's funny to do this. I've never done this with any of the books, cause all our previous books have always been kind of more planned out before we get to this stage. Or, you know, have been obvious, like, you know, last one, relationship book, you know, for singles or dating or engaged people, with Love That Lasts, and before that, and then Jesus, Great and Religion with the video. So this is the one where it's fun, because I feel like there's a lot more room to wrestle here with a couple different ideas. So I would super, super love your thoughts. What's funny is after you help me here, then, you know, you'll probably forget about it for the next year and a half, because like I said, then I go into the dark, then I go in a cave, and then I just write the book, and then we figure it out, we plan it out, we have a marketing plan, etc. So you won't even hear again about this book after you give me some feedback, probably till next June or July. So it's more than a year away, which isn't that crazy. If you know, a lot of people don't know that if you go into Barnes and Noble, or if you pick up a book, they probably started having that idea 2 years ago. Isn't that crazy? Like if it came out this week, that idea was probably conceptualized and started to be written 2 years ago, sometimes even longer. So I think novels sometimes take longer, and there's some exceptions to that too. But yeah, that's all I got for this week, guys. Short episode. I hope it was encouraging. Hit me up if you can. No worries if not. Hopefully these things blessed you, encouraged you, gave you something to think about for your day and for your week. And we will be back to normal next week with me and Alyssa. Hope you guys didn't miss her too bad. I know she's my better half and no one wants to hear me talk, but hopefully there's a few of you out there. So, all right. Love you guys.